Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Your favorite things feel made for you. Your education should too. University of Maryland Global Campus, formerly University of Maryland University College, was made to serve the military and working adults like you. Today, we continue that tradition by offering frequent start dates so you can get started with convenient online learning that fits your schedule, by recognizing your accomplishments with credits you can earn for what you know, by providing no-cost online resources replacing most textbooks because a college education can fit your budget too, and with no SAT or GRE required for most programs. University of Maryland Global Campus, made for you. Last year, we awarded more than $15 million in scholarships to qualified students, including community college students, service members, veterans, and working adults just like you. Discover how we can make your education and your goals for the future a reality. Visit us at umgc.edu. That's umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Hi, this is Bob Costas, and you're listening to the ML Sports Platter.
The ML Sports Platter, back with you all over the major platforms. Download, subscribe, leave feedback, and a five-star review where you get your podcasts on your smartphone device. I'm on Twitter, at Mike L Sports. We are brought to you by Rosie's Corner, the Vince Aguirre Consulting Group, Sitney and Sit Syracuse, and Brian Conboy at MassMutual New York State. Advisors.massmutual.com. Go with Brian today for your tax-efficient retirement planning and more. It is an absolute treat to bring onto the program ESPN radio anchor and cooking guru, Christine Lisi. You can get her on Twitter at ESPN Christine. And of course, BakerChristineLisi.wordpress.com. We're going to talk cooking. We're going to talk sports. We're going to talk COVID. We're going to talk dogs. You name it. Christine, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
Excellent. Let's start with the cooking portion of the podcast. Everything you tweet out, everything the content is terrific. I just want to basically get curbside pickup with everything that you are cooking. So why don't you tell my listeners, you know, when it all started for you, your love of cooking, where people can find you, and some of the more recent things that you've tossed out there, from cookies to cupcakes, you name it. You really truly enjoy baking and cooking.
I do. I think for me, it started when I was really young, because my mom baked, all my aunts baked, both grandmothers baked, and like spending a lot of time with them and a lot of time in the kitchen, I just learned, how to bake good stuff. And it was funny because my dad's mom, she never measured anything, and it drove me nuts, because I'm very precise in measuring and stuff, and she never had recipes. Everything was off the top of her head and stuff. So, I've always loved baking, loved cooking. And I think because it brings back so many wonderful memories from when I was little, you know, and I just kind of, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, if you can read or you can follow directions, you can bake, you can cook. And I think it's just a matter of getting reps in, just like in sports, right? You want to become a better golfer, better baseball player, better hockey player. You just kind of keep practicing, and then you can get to where you want to be.
Put the time in and make it a part-time job, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
One thing, though, for me, like I cook a little bit. Yes, I read directions, but I think, though, that there is a stop sign somewhere. You know, where it's like, okay, right, how do I get to the next level? Do you feel like you're at the level where you want to be at, or do you want to take another level with this thing? Because there are a lot of people who are, not that you aren't, but, you know, they're professionally doing it at a really high level, and they're making boatloads of money doing it. So do you want to take more steps? And is this something post, you know, I'm Christine Lisi with the ESPN radio update, right? Is this post that, perhaps?
You know, that would be fun. It would be nice to be able to make extra money like that. I'm just trying to think. I do love it. The only thing I think I would like to do better is, like, I would like to be able to decorate better and not look like a 2-year-old decorated a cookie or a cupcake.
So how I would look like if I did it? Yeah.
Because I just, like, people at work are like, "What is this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's a reindeer." You know what I mean? And people have no idea what it is. So if I had time to take a decorating class at, like, Michael's or, you know, one of those places like that, I think I would like to do that. I'm pretty pleased, you know, with where I am, because I've been cooking and baking for so long. So I don't know what else I could do. I think just the decorating thing really could help me a lot.
All right.
I might fail that class. I don't know.
How's the dog doing? I don't know who's more spoiled, your pup or mine.
I know, exactly. He's so cute with the baby, your guy.
Yeah, he's crazy, though. He's a crazy man, you know?
Yeah, Gracie's, she's good. We're getting a little thunderstorm here now, so she's not thrilled with that. But she's, you know, she's good. She'll be 3 this summer. Yeah. We've had her, I think we got her off the rescue road trips truck about 2.5 years ago. She's become a nice dog. You know, like, when we got her, she was like a piece of clay, and we had to kind of mold her and, you know, because she was forgotten about, yeah, whoever had her first, and she's become a really sweet, nice dog. My mom pointed that out when we visited recently.
Yeah, so. It's so sad, you know, when you rescue the dog and you know, you get the backstory, and it's...
Yes.
It's, you really, boy, you wonder what's wrong with people. I mean, it's...
Right.
It hurts when you think about it. All right, let's get into some sports here.
Sure.
I mean, look, everything's kind of an unknown. We don't know what we're going to get, but assuming we do get football, your beloved Bills, my beloved Bills,
yes,
hoping, striving for perhaps a division title, but the
right,
Patriots, I think, will be in the way. I think they're still going to be a problem whether they got Cam Newton or not. Give me a reason why Cam Newton as a Patriot worries you, and a reason why Cam Newton as a Patriot doesn't worry you.
Well, I got to say, it doesn't worry me because he's missed so much time. And the injuries he's had over the last couple of years have been big ones. And then who knows what he's going to be back coming from this. It was a Liz Frank, right? His foot, that was the injury.
Yeah, shoulder and feet, really, the last 4 years. You know, since that great, yeah, MVP season of 15.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that worries me a little bit. But if he is, like, athletic, he's not that old. You know, he's older for football, but he's not that old. But... that would be the only thing that would worry me in that case, because I think the Bills have a really nice shot at the division.
I love the overall roster for Buffalo. I think,
yes,
it's obviously, I think, it's going to come down to, you know, look, it's easy for everyone just to say, well, they got Stephon Diggs, the roster's pretty similar. No,
yep,
excuses, Josh Allen. No excuses, Josh Allen. If Josh Allen,
right,
this, if Josh Allen that. I look at it as a lot more than that, because in this league, there's so many layers to being a really good to great to elite quarterback. I think Brian Daboll and Josh Allen's partnership and the relationship with them on the same page is actually more important than just Josh Allen. What's your feeling there?
I agree, and I want to say this too, and I've told my husband this a bunch of times. I know that Josh has a pretty good relationship with Jim Kelly. I would like to Jim to give him a little more input than that. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him spend even more time with Jim, you know, because, like, I look back at the Houston playoff game, and the Bills got, oh, was it 9 points off the turnovers or 12? Those Houston turnovers in the first half were getting decent field position inside the 20, that's what it was, and only coming away with a couple of field goals.
Right.
I'm like, oh, Jim's guys would have had at least,
oh, the game would have been over.
Right?
Would have been over.
Yeah, so that was one thing. I would like to, the Daboll thing is big, that relationship, but I would like to see him, I would like Jim a little more involved with Josh. That's just my opinion.
Well,
I've wanted that for a while.
Yeah, and I think, you know, last year, what I think many of us saw, it was just when the Bills were rolling, and the offensive playbook by Dable was rolling. In other words, the first drive in Houston, they looked like,
yes,
it was unbelievable. It was mixing and matching and throwbacks and reverses and trickery and short passes and screening and mixing in the run when you needed to. But when they did that, oftentimes Allen was, you know, Allen was all over the place. So when Dable was calling a lot of things, Allen was missing guys. I mean, you think about that game at New England, he hits one of those and they beat the Patriots once and they probably win the division. On the flip side, when Allen was rolling, Dable went conservative. So I feel like that has to be fixed this year, and they've got the roster to do it. I mean, they have Diggs, Brown, Beasley, Singletary. You get Zach Moss in the draft. I like this Davis kid out of Central Florida at receiver, maybe a red zone target. The line should be really good if they stay healthy. But again, I think the consistency and the red zone with those two guys, I think that's the key to the season. I know what the schedule says. I know it's a lot more imbalanced than last year. But with every imbalance and with every difficult spot in team and quarterback and Russell Wilson and Patty Mahomes, the Bills also benefit from a lot of things as well. Eric Wood pointed out a lot of things to me a few weeks back. I just think that's the key. I mean, I think if they can figure out a little bit more than last year, I think they could win the division, Dable and Allen. I think that's key, you know?
Yes, and I would also like Josh not to be our leading rusher. Because I look at a couple of those stats, I'm like, I worry about him. I know he's young, athletic and stuff, but I think it was on that was it the touchdown catch in Houston? I thought, oh my God. You know what I mean? Because you just worry about people getting hurt. Like Carson Wentz a couple years ago was trying to make something happen and he got hurt. And, you know, and he hurt his shoulder and he was out. It might have been the year they won the Super Bowl, I think, for the Eagles. And I worry about that with Josh. Like, I don't know. Like Tom Brady said, he was told a long time ago by Belichick, he was running when he was really young, and Belichick grabbed him on the sideline and said, "Hey Brady, if you want to last in this league, you can't do that, and you got to get rid of the ball." And that's how Tom has had this amazing career. Partly why he's had this amazing career because he followed that advice. I saw Tom said he said that last year after Josh ended up with a concussion. I think after a Patriots game, and they were asking Tom about it. So I would like Josh not to, I love his athleticism. I would just like not to push that. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't mind once in a while, you know, the spirit of competition, you go back, the play's broken and all the rest, but if you can minimize the chances, right? You minimize the numbers game of getting hurt. I mean, I'm all in on that. The problem, you know, with Allen is he can't, He goes right away at it. And the play hasn't maybe developed yet, and he just decides to do it because it's just an instinctual thing. And look, while it's fun to watch him jump over Minnesota Vikings, and it's fun to watch him fight over the line with a football on the Thanksgiving Day game, and that's my quarterback stuff, right? And people make T-shirts about it, and all that stuff's fun. If you can minimize the mobile part and kind of pull him back a little bit, but still there's a balance with his spirit of competition, I'm right there with you. Christine Lisi with us, ESPN radio anchor, voiceover talent, and check out all of her cooking skills at bakerchristinelisi.wordpress.com. How do you think years from now we're going to tell the 2020 sports COVID social unrest story?
I think we're just going to say it was just like a...
Maybe we don't want to tell it.
right. It was almost like a perfect storm of, like, everything that could go wrong did. Like, or not, I don't even want to say go wrong, because I think we need this social change. We need this, you know, we need to change a lot of stuff. But I guess when I say a perfect storm, I mean everything coming together, and we just, it's forcing us to change, like how we live, how we do stuff, how we treat other people. The COVID stuff, just it's like something out of a movie. I know you're younger than I am, but like I remember right out of college the movie Outbreak. And that's what this whole thing reminds me of, because it was just this virus that was just, you know, in the time you're like, oh, that's just Hollywood, but like it came true. And I think, like, I like the social justice stuff. I really do. I like people speaking up for themselves and wanting to make things different and better. Because if this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, it should be that way for everybody. Everybody's equal. Everybody is on the level playing field. That's just my opinion on that. And the sports thing, I mean, man, I've missed it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times can I watch the 85 Oilers take on the Flyers? You know what I mean? I've never been an old sports watcher. My husband's got like Orioles Yankees on now. Like a game from like, I think last year or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're watching every night and I'm just like, I miss live stuff.
Oh,
like,
I just saw the Last Dance episode 4 for the 4th time. You wouldn't believe what happened. You wouldn't believe what I missed, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. That was pretty darn good, though, huh? The Last Dance?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All that, I find that kind of stuff fascinating. Like, I've seen different, like, you know, I've seen not quite, like, quite to that level, but I, you know, watch different stuff on, like, a bunch of the Gretzky Oiler teams or the Flyers or, you know, a couple specials on the Sabres and stuff. Like, I love that kind of storytelling stuff.
I agree, and I don't think there's ever been, you know, a bigger time for documentaries. I mean, Jason Hare with The Last Dance, it's easy to say, while we're at home, we're starving for content, but I think there was a real ramp-up just recently. I mean, I had Tom Rinaldi on yesterday to talk about that terrific boxing piece that came out last night as we record this, and, you know, I think there was probably like 3 to 5 years ago it really, really started to ramp up, and then you get Last Dance, and then you had Long Gone Summer, and you have Lance, and I don't remember there being a bigger, COVID or not, documentary time. Do you?
No, I don't, and I think, like, I like that long form kind of stuff. Yeah. I find it really interesting rather than just like, you know, I know everybody wants everything fast and now and everything, but it's kind of nice to be able to sit back and take all that in and think about like what you thought of at that moment, you know, like all the OJ stuff, like when they had that, you know, those documentaries and stuff. Like, I think that's really, it's interesting. Like after it's happened and you have some time to digest it and look at those teams. You know, and how people view, you know, how people view Michael Jordan and view Scottie Pippen and Jerry Reinsdorf and that whole crew like that.
So anchoring from home still, is that what you're doing or are you going in? What's the deal?
I have only gone in, they pulled the anchors off campus in late March because I don't know if they were just trying to get more people off campus because we anchors were on campus. They had gone from 4,000 people on campus to 400 in a very short amount of time. And then they wanted to get more people off campus because Connecticut, New York, obviously at the epicenter, but Connecticut, New Jersey were up there too because of our proximity. And, I've been home. I've done some voiceover stuff for the Sports Center on TV shows. And I've gone in only twice once to kind of semi-host and then once to anchor. And then we're coming back on July 6th.
I've been trying to, so on sports centers, I've been kind of trying, I'm like, I think that's Christine, you know, like sometimes I'll hear something and it's like a voice. It sounds like, but it's like a combo of like you, Rachel Nichols, Linda Cohn and somebody else. And I'm like, is that her? Is it not? And I'm like, I know it is. I think it's her, but you know how voiceover stuff is, right? Like sometimes you hear something and like with the production part and like some, you know, different amplification or whatever the case may be. It's you, but it's a little bit of a different you. But, you know, I got to listen a little bit closer now so I absolutely know where, you know, it's going to be, you know, when the NBA comes back, can LeBron win another ring? And I'm like,
yes.
That's her. That's her.
Yep.
That's her.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I do a lot of the billboards and stuff, like Sports Center, brought to you by, yep, that's me.
Okay. Well, I know it's not you when I hear, this is SportsCenter. I know, I definitely know that's not you. So.
And then Toni Collins does the overnight stuff. She does the overnight stuff.
Yeah,
I do the day stuff, you know, the morning and the day, 7 days a week, I do that stuff.
Sure, Toni's great, too.
Yes, she is.
Phenomenal.
And a wonderful person.
Absolutely. All right, well, in closing, I also wanted to thank you. I know it's so weird, like, people build sort of these friendships through Twitter and I wish I could meet I wish I had already met everyone that who I've had a relationship with on the phone. 'Cause when we talk, I feel like I've known you for 10 years, but we've never met.
Yes. Yes.
We follow each other a lot, and when I throw stuff out there and link you and vice versa, you know, kind of promoting each other's stuff and helping each other, and I just wanted to thank you not only for coming on, but, you know, for pushing a lot of my stuff and a lot of my content and my interviews, and, you know, anytime you want to throw some stuff out there and hit me up on my handle,
sure.
The least I can do is retweet your stuff as much as you do mine, so thanks so much for the support, Christine.
Oh, you're welcome. Like, I told one of my friends, I said, you know, like, I always try to, like, retweet or share whatever, you know, whatever social media you're on, because you never know, like, who might need to see that.
Yeah.
Or who sees it and might be able to help you or somebody else. Like, this is a little aside, but, like, that's why I share so many, like, dogs that need homes.
Yep, me too.
Because you never know where in the country somebody be like, I need that dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right?
It's an unlimited audience, and that's what I...
Yes.
That's what I usually tell a lot of people when I'm in my sales meetings and stuff, who, you know, might not realize the power of social and digital media, and maybe they don't have a Twitter account. They have a Facebook page, but they use it maybe one day a week. And I'm like, look, if you did one post in the morning, one in the afternoon, and you jump on my platform and your stuff grows, you could get 7 or 8 shares and all of a sudden have 3 new customers for life off of just a share from somebody else's page. And Twitter's like that as well. Content being reaches out there. Dogs getting homes, it's all the same, and the audience being really unlimited is a huge deal. Well, she does a great job. She is an ESPN radio anchor, voiceover talent, and you can get her on Twitter at ESPN Christine and check out her baking/cooking website and platform at bakerchristinelacy.wordpress.com. Christine, thanks so much.
Mike, thank you.
The ML Sports Platter, brought to you by Ken's Auto Detailing, Barks and Rec Doggy Daycare, the Vince Aguirre Consulting Group, and Empower Federal Credit Union. Log on to empowerfcu.com. That's empowerfcu.com. Find your peace of mind today with Empower Federal Credit Union. We go from Christine Lisi of ESPN Radio to Greg Vorse on Twitter, at Greg Vorse. He's a Buffalo Bills and Sabres TV personality, insider, and reporter for Spectrum News Buffalo and Spectrum News in Rochester. Greg, welcome aboard, bud.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for giving me some time.
Buffalo Sabres, what are we supposed to think right now at this point?
Well, the most addictive drug that I know of for sports fans is one called hope. And that is a drug that the Pegulas have injected into the veins of Sabres fans since they purchased the team and said the purpose of having a team is winning the Stanley Cup. And right now, that is about all you have if you're a Sabres fan, is hope. Hope that Jack Eichel continues on the upward trajectory that he's been on. Hope that Rasmus Dahlin is, you know, that can't-miss blue line stud that you picked number one overall in 2018. And hope that some of these other pieces around them become what you hoped they would be, because right now, my goodness, you have your third straight first-time GM in Kevin Adams, and you and I combined have the same amount of GM experience as Kevin Adams. He's never done it. He's a business guy, and I hate to say it, but I really feel like from listening to the Zooms and being part of the press conferences, is he might be a yes man, and that's what they wanted, and it sounds like Bottrell wouldn't be that. And now we find ourselves with Kevin Adams with an 8th overall pick, with Reinhardt and Olofsson's contracts coming up. And, oh boy, he's got a bigger mess to clean than I have with my parents' bar, as I was telling you before we started recording.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know you have kids running around, too. And the Sabres make more messes than even little kids at this particular point. Jack Eichel, are the wheels in motion behind the scenes that he wants out already?
I don't think they're in motion. Okay. I think that's putting the cart a little before the horse here.
Okay.
But if he has 2 or 3 more 80 or less point seasons, I don't know how he doesn't say, I want out. I don't know how he doesn't look around the league and think, you've given me nothing. You got lucky in Victor Olofsson, a 7th round pick in 2014, who finally did something. And you can put Skinner on my line, and we have one really good line, and then we have nothing. But if you're also looking from the other side, if you're the Sabres, at some point you got to have more than Jack. So maybe you start to explore it too. And it's not a case of what you can get. It's the guy, the teams are going to line up to try to get Jack Eichel from the Sabres should we learn that he wants out. And he loves hockey. He loves Buffalo. He's made Buffalo home. He calls this home now. He didn't leave during COVID. He stayed here and bunkered down and said, this is home. He's a guy that's around town. He's involved in the community. So he loves, for a dude from Boston, he's fallen in love with the city of Buffalo. But it's one thing he loves more than anything else, it's winning. And he's shown that in his post-game press conferences and being in the room when he's there. He's, you know, sorry if kids are listening, he's pissed right now, as he should be. And I don't think today, I don't think those wheels are in motion, but we get to 2023 and we're talking about another top 5 or 10 pick. I mean, I don't know how he doesn't say, dude, GM number 4, whoever you are after Kevin Adams, because that guy's going to be gone by then, do something.
A few years ago, when the Bills made the playoffs at 9-7 with Tyrod Taylor, Kyle Williams, the final go-round, things were looking like they were going in the right direction, trust the process, blah, blah, blah. But just before that, and even I think at that time and shortly after, I think a lot of people, me included for sure, I don't know about you, but I was having trouble figuring out which franchise was ahead of the other in terms of the future, the front office, depth, you know, player evaluation, all the things that go into a consistent playoff team, a possible future perennial winner, not necessarily championship, but being in the postseason and being in it to win it, right? And I kept going back and forth, back and forth. But now there's no question that it's the Bills and not the Sabres. How far away, Greg Vorse, do you think right now those two teams are in terms of philosophy, winning, all the things that make up a franchise in professional sports? How far apart are the Bills and Sabres as teams, as franchises, owned by the same people?
As long as the Pegolas are willing to pay McDermott and Bean, their head coach and GM of the Bills are years ahead of the Sabres. The Bills are, in my estimation right now, as we stand here today, the Bills have the third best team in the AFC. And if Josh Allen makes a step, I'm not saying a huge leap, a step, and a play or two go their way, they're accidentally in the AFC Championship looking, knocking on the door of a Super Bowl. That's where the Bills are in 2020. They're one guy making a little bit of a step. Now, it's the most important position in all of sports, being the quarterback, but that's where the Bills are. You're talking a top five, top six team in the National Football League. The Sabres are a second-line center, a third-line center, two defensemen, maybe Linus Allmark is your goalie, maybe Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is your goalie of the future. You need all of that before you are where the Bills are, before you're the Bruins, before you're the Lightning, mm-hmm. before you're the Avalanche. That's how far away the Sabres are. You hope Dylan Cousins can fill one of those voids. You hope this eighth overall pick this year maybe fills one of those voids. Middlestat and Tage Thompson become what we thought they might be. But, oh my goodness, the pile of hope is getting deep.
It's really crazy. I mean, depth is a huge thing in hockey, right? And the Sabres just, they're not deep. And what does that mean? Why are they not deeper?
Here's the biggest thing, and it goes back to 2014 when Tim Murray, we'll just call him GMTM for ease, when GMTM made all those trades, he quote-unquote won the lottery. Granted, the Oilers got McDavid, but you still got Eichel, who was a transcendent mm-hmm. player.
Yep.
You got a guy, we're building around this dude. My thing with him has always been, and you can go back and look at the trades, he had so many poker chips, so many pieces, burning holes in his pocket that he just seemed so willing to throw in extra stuff. There was always an extra second-round pick I'll just throw in because I have it. You know, the prospects that he had drafted, I'll just throw those guys in because I have them. And that's what crushed the depth. And then you saw Botterill try to pick some of that back up by trading O'Reilly. And he caved a little early from reading everything that I understand and people have spoken to in the league. And he didn't push hard enough for one of the two or three true blue chip prospects that the Blues had. And he kind of settled for Tage Thompson. and it hasn't worked out. Before the shoulder injury, Thompson looked like maybe he was starting to find it, but it hasn't worked out. So when you trade one of your studs, your second line center, for hopefully three or four pieces, and none of those three or four pieces have done anything, and the GM before you traded away a handful of second and third round picks and prospects to try to get Evander Kane and make those moves, all of a sudden you're sitting here looking at the depth chart going, does Greg Vorsch have skates? Because we might need him next week.
It's unbelievable. And you know what bothered me the most about that house clean? You know, the Botterill thing at 3 weeks before, they gave Sabre fans the idea, oh, he's the guy, and then they just fired him. But then they fired a ton of other people. And included in that were the Rochester guys. And I just thought that was totally out of line for a team that was, before COVID, was heading back to the postseason. Coaches who seemed to really understand player development. I just thought the whole Rochester thing was out of control. I thought that was too much.
I'll be very honest with you and your listeners. I'm in Buffalo, so I don't do a ton with the Amherst, but I do enough to know that Chris Taylor was mighty successful there. He also ran all your development camp stuff. So your guys like Olofsson, even Rasmus Dahlin, had trained under him, had worked under him, so they knew him. I've spoken to six prospects, not the old guys with the Sabres that might, or with the Amherst that might have been having a beer with Chris Taylor, but true, legitimate, younger prospects that we hope are on the Sabres coming up, and they all glowed. They raved about Taylor prior to him being fired, and then you circle back, and you're like, all right, maybe they were saying that because he was their coach and they didn't want to go on the record and bash him. And then after he's fired, and they all rave about him again. So they loved him. None of the guys wanted to say, I'm irritated, I hate this, you know, because you're not going to say that unless you have some real clout in an organization. But none of them off the record were happy with what went down because they loved Chris Taylor. They loved what he had done. He was like a big brother to a lot of them.
It took me, that part took me by surprise. A lot of the other stuff didn't, but that part, and I'm with you on the development part. I mean, Chris Taylor, I couldn't believe it when I saw it, because it's just so much of the development that really, if they kept working at it, might have helped the depth. You know, isn't the AHL the development part, the drafting part? Guys like Chris Taylor, I mean, that aren't those the people you want to help the number one problem, arguably, that you have in the franchise, which is depth? You know, that's kind of how I looked at it.
Well, my thing was, going back to, I'm a Penguins fan. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. My older sister has the same cancer as Mario Lemieux, so I met him a couple times as a kid when they basically were parading my beautiful blonde older sister around to try and raise money. So I'm a Penguins fan through and through. So I knew Jason Botterill before the Sabres hired him. I knew him as the guy that ran Scranton Wilkes-Barre and brought them up through there, the Jake Getzels and their, all these goalies that they have and all these guys they brought up to bring around Crosby and Malkin. So that's kind of what I thought was going to brew in Rochester, was going to be those cheaper guys they find, those diamonds in the roughs you find, to build around Eichel, Reinhart, and that crew being your core pieces. And for whatever reason, he never seemed to hit on those guys, never hit on those cheaper contracts. But you bail. So, I mean, they're on their third GM with no experience. So they're bailing too quickly on these guys. Am I mad? Do I think they're wrong for firing Botterill? No, because what do I have to point to say it's working?
Yeah.
But also, Kim got irritated on the Zoom season-ending call when it was either Harrington or Tim Graham asked, like, why are you doing this again? And she got mad.
Yeah.
Like, she was mad might not be the right word, but there was an irritation in her tone, in her face, of how dare you kind of ask me why we're doing this again. Well, why are you doing it again? Like, it's not working.
How's COVID-19 going to change your world moving forward, TV's world moving forward? Is there going to be less studio overall? Are interviews going to change with different technology? I mean, and as we go, I know things, you know, they're going to change as we, you know, hopefully, I mean, are we flattening the curve now? Are we not? The information and consistency, all that. I get all that. And there's still a lot of unknowns and we still need a vaccine. I understand all that. But long term moving forward, do you see any changes way long from now because of what we've learned and how to go about our daily business dealing with this stuff with all the technology, I guess is the question?
I don't see why we wouldn't utilize, you know, Zoom and Facebook Messenger, FaceTime and Skype more often. I mean, especially during the summer months, we'll take UB, for instance. Mm-hmm. I've been in constant contact with the Patterson twins, James and Jarrett, who are both going to be NFL players, doing stories with them. They've never left their house in Baltimore. I've never left Buffalo. Stories are getting done. So I don't see why we wouldn't utilize this going forward to do more stories, to do these, you know, you want to do a story with someone that happens to live in San Luis Obispo, California. Well, guess what? You Zoom with them. You have their trainer shoot you 4 or 5 minutes of video. You got a cool little feature on person X that happens to live in California or whatever. So I don't see, we as media would be dumb not to learn from this. Spinning it the other side, when Bills season gets here, I don't see how you properly cover it not being in the studio, having all the technology, the huge TV we have, the touch screen, and just the everything we have literally at our fingertips, you know, to do our best ability to cover the Bills for Bills fans. We can't give up on that. But I don't see, we as journalists and media would be idiots not to learn from these last 4 months where my basement has been a mobile studio.
Yeah, and you know, I think one of the fascinating things too, Greg, with how media like yourself and others cover the games post-COVID is going to be, or even during trying to get out of COVID into post-COVID, whatever that means, is going to be also like how these leagues change. I mean, is hockey going to become a New Year's Day to August, September type calendar now? You know, is the NFL going to be a mid-October to mid-February, you know, early March, you know, calendar now? You know, I mean, how's that going to work now? And there's a lot, I mean, everything's on the table.
My first love is basketball. If we could somehow get the Buffalo Braves back, I would arm wrestle whoever I had to arm wrestle to try and get them back, and then I would fight John Scott, our Bills reporter, to be the Buffalo Braves reporter.
Okay.
But Mark Cuban, the owner of the Mavericks, has for a decade been on this, basketball should start on Christmas Day. And I think, you know, unfortunately for the reason it is, but I think we now have our excuse to see basketball start on Christmas Day and become a summer sport. I think hockey would be smart to do it too. Right now, with the way the world is, the sporting world, I mean, not COVID-19, the sporting world is, you do everything you can mm-hmm. not to go against the NFL and not to go against big-time college football. I am wearing a Michigan hat right now. I have a UB t-shirt on. You don't go against the NFL, and you try to avoid big-time college football. You don't want to go up against Michigan, Ohio State, Bama, Auburn. You don't want to deal with that. So how do you avoid it? Well, you push your league back to starting Christmas or New Year's. And honestly, and I know you and I have talked about this on Twitter, I hate seeing baseball basically cannibalize itself right now because billionaires and millionaires can't figure out who should pick up that quarter on the ground.
Right.
But take advantage of baseball's weakness right now and go own summer if you're hockey. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't make sense because they're playing on ice and it's 80 degrees out. But if you're basketball, go own summer. Football continues to gradually pick apart, and eventually they're just going to own every single day. But if you're one of those other leagues, go take advantage
exactly.
of this right now.
Yeah, and Greg, you know, to your point, and we'll really close on this, is that the hockey part, you might not say, well, geez, that doesn't make sense, July, August. But, I mean, really, who cares? I mean, you're playing an 82-game season that goes in the first week of April anyway. And in a majority of, not a majority, but certainly many of the teams that are in the playoffs, you have Tampa. Their weather, last I checked, is pretty nice year-round. Many of the Northeast places are getting into spring and summer. If you have a deep dive into the playoffs and you're Boston, middle of June is summer. I mean, there's nice weather for many of these teams. A lot of California teams make the postseason in hockey. If you're Chicago and you make a deep run in mid-June, it's summer in Chicago. So, you know, there's not that much of a difference finishing the season in mid-June than there is 2 months later in August in terms of, like, that whole weather argument.
Well, I mean, I covered the Bonnies in 2018 in the NCAA tournament in the middle of March in Dallas.
Yep.
And if they would have let me, I'd have walked around in my boxer briefs because it was so darn hot for a kid coming from Buffalo. You know what I mean? Like, it was nicer there in the middle of March than it is here right now on July 1st. So that starts to, you know, that's not a good argument. Plus, look what baseball has done. The Yankees and the Mets and the outside cities in the north start in the south. So you massage the schedule to have the end of your season finish up where Tampa's playing at Buffalo. You know what I mean? Where Dallas is up in Colorado, whatever, to avoid those 100-degree days. It's not hard.
Yeah, I see. I you know, and the baseball thing that kills you too is I'm with you, the millionaire billionaire thing. But while they were fighting because they delayed everything and now everybody getting into camp, I mean, July 4th is this weekend. They're missing out on the two. People think summer. They think July 4th. They think picnics. They think boats and golf. They also think Major League Baseball, you know, being
right.
Idaho fans at the ballpark. I know that part's not possible, but what is possible is people having their July 4th picnics, social distance from their families or, you know, well, at least their extended families, but their immediate family, and turning on the Yankees in the afternoon, turning on the Mets, turning on the defending champion Nationals. We don't have any of that. We could have quadruple headers on July 4th as a part of the Independence Day holiday, and the summer months of baseball and what fans know to be baseball are gone, and that is that's brutal to think about. Greg Vorce on Twitter at Greg Vorce, and of course, Buffalo and Rochester platforms for Spectrum News, covering the Bills and the Sabres. Greg, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
The ML Sports Platter, all over the major platforms like Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure you download, subscribe, leave feedback, and a 5-star review. That stuff does help an awful, awful lot. We are presented by our great friends at Empower Federal Credit Union, World of Beer Destiny USA, Camillus Golf Club, and our incredible, incredible friends at Pellera Contracting. Log on to PelleraContracting.com. If you have roofing needs in and around the greater Central New York area, make sure that you lean on Pellera Contracting. They'll also do composite decks for you as well. And we also thank Welch & Company Jewelers and our terrific friends at Bryant & Stratton College, the official college of the ML Sports Platter. 2- and 4-year degrees are always starting. Be a Bobcat today in athletics and academics. BryantStratton.edu for more information. A big time thanks to Greg Vorce and Christine Lisi on this podcast. I'm Mike Lindsley. Again, Twitter at Mike L Sports, Instagram Mike L Sports 1979, and be on the lookout for my 9-minute with Mike Lindsley segments plus ML Sports takes covering YouTube, IGTV on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, you can visit PinstripePassion.com for my Yankees and baseball coverage. As I always tell you, whenever they get back in full, enjoy the games.
Hello, Discover here to explain our cash back match. Here's how it works. We give you cash back for using your Discover card on the things you were going to buy anyway. Then we match that cash back in your first year. And that's why we call it cash back match. Now to recap and say cash back one more time. We match all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
Cloud is powering tomorrow's transformative missions. Federal agencies are partnering with SAIC to help them meet these critical moments. Where bold moves require confident blueprints. Where you can accelerate transformation through consistency. Where you can innovate forward and never look back. SAIC quickly and securely migrates large-scale workloads to the cloud with the confidence you need to assure your mission. Learn more at saic.com/cloud.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.